You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
So, I have been thinking about this picture a lot recently. I'm in middle school, and that is me second from the right. Yeah, right? So I've got my dad on my one side, he's holding the guitar, my brother Joel on the other side. I'm holding my little brother Isaac on my hip. Okay, I think it's my little brother Isaac. There's some disagreement in the family about who that really is. I think it's my little brother Isaac on my hip, and I have no idea why we're standing there holding our hands out. We're singing a song, so maybe we're hoping that people are gonna throw money after we're done, I don't know. But there we are in the church basement, singing for the church. Yes, the same church basement where we had church potlucks, we had Sunday school, youth group, so-so coffee, folding chairs, and those really long, rectangular, heavy tables that were like in every single church basement built before 1987. Yeah, can I get an amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know it. Right? So there we are, and we're singing a song written by my Uncle Jim called How Great is the Love of the Father. And I'm just looking at this picture, and I'm just not sure. I mean, everything about me screams, hi, I'm a 1980s church kid, right? I mean, my hair, it's incredible, and I don't mean incredibly good. I mean incredible historically. And did I want to be there? I can't tell from the picture. I don't remember. All I remember is that I was in middle school. So basically, I was emotionally committed to being mildly uncomfortable wherever I was. And I'm standing there with my family singing. How great is the love of the Father, the love he has shown to us. So great that he calls us his children, and children of God we are, and children of God we are. And the funny thing is, I had no idea back then how much those words would shape my life. I had no idea. I would have people come up to me and they'd say, you're a chip off the old block, which is kind of a weird phrase if you stop and think about it. But what they meant was, like, you fit with that family, right? Yeah, you walk like a ward, you talk like a ward, you eat like a ward, you hold your hand awkwardly out when you sing like a ward. Like, you start to take on characteristics and attributes, some good, some weird. And I think that's what John wants us to see in 1 John 3, that family shapes you, family changes you. He says this, he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. In other words, the children of God should start to resemble their heavenly Father. That's what John wants us to see, that the children of God should start to resemble their heavenly Father. And maybe even as I say that, you start to feel some tension. You have some questions that start to come to your mind and you start to wonder, well, I mean, as I read what John says, he seems pretty black and white and I'm just not sure. And so maybe you're feeling some tension right now, and maybe some of these questions are starting to bubble up in your mind. Am I really God's child? What do I do with my ongoing sin? Will I ever really change? Like, I thought I would be further along by now. And how can I know that Jesus is working, is living, abiding in me? You're feeling tension right now. I just want you to know that John knew through the Spirit of God that you would be feeling some of that. And if you are feeling tension, you're in the right place. Because we're in a series called Living in the Tension. And we're gonna talk about that as we go. So if you start to feel some tension throughout the message today, John has a message for us. John has a message for you, I believe, and me. So we're in this series called Living in the Tension. I'm thrilled that you're here, that you came to worship with us today. And if you're joining us online, hey, we've got online Bible, we've got notes, we even have an online host. They'd love to answer any questions you have, pray with you, and we'd love to see you in person next week. If you are here in the Worship Center, FLC, or Commons, go ahead and grab your sermon notes, open your Bibles if you have them to 1 John. That's where we're gonna be, chapter 3. But before we do, I wanna pray for us, for you and for me, that we would have a sense of assurance that we're the children of God. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are a child of God. And he has a word for you and for me this morning. Father in heaven, holy is your name. And we come as your children, the sons and daughters of God. And the truth is, we're still trying to figure this thing out, God. We know your spirit is inside of us, but we still struggle at times. And so help us through your spirit. I pray that we would leave being assured that we are sons and daughters of God, but also that you have a call on our lives. Help us to hear your still small voice and then to obey. We love you because you first loved us. And so we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. 1 John, we're actually starting in chapter 2, verse 28. If you've got an ESV like I do, mine has a heading that says, Children of God. So that's why we're starting there. All right, words on the screen. Follow along as I read. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices, keyword, practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. The word of the Lord. And already you might be feeling some tension, right? John is pretty black and white. Children of God, children of the devil, keeps on sinning, practice. And already you might be starting to feel some tension. We might have a little bit more before we're done. But here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna break down this passage in layers. You remember Pastor Josh has given us this metaphor of a 3D printer, right? So John is talking to us in layers, like layer one, layer two, layer three, layer one, layer two, but all the layers are like mashed together. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take the layers, like layer one, layer one, layer one, put them all together, layer two, put them all together. I think it's gonna make more sense as we go, and we're gonna see what John's trying to teach us, okay? So it's okay, the tension's okay. For me, part of the tension is when I read this the first time, I was like, what are you saying, John? Like, that creates tension in me. So layers, I think it's gonna be clear. John says, in that tension, don't forget, remember whose family you are. Don't forget, because we have a tendency to forget. If you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, remember whose family you are. In other words, John says, you are a child of God now. He doesn't say, once you're perfect, once you've got your act together, he says, you are now. It's right there in the text. He says, you're a child of God now. John says it this way. He says, and now, after I'm perfect, after I have my act together, John says, and now, little children. He continues, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We've been singing about that, right? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Little children, let no one deceive you. Because he has been born of God, by this it is evident who are the children of God. You're a child of God now. Remember whose family you are. Remember your identity in Christ now. And how did you get that love? The Father's love is given, not earned. This verse, 1 John 3, verse 1. This verse, I think, is one of the most beautiful in the whole Bible. Like, it just sings to me, and not just because I sang it back in middle school. Like, it just sings to me. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are, period. I can just imagine John. Remember, he's an old man now. He's the last apostle standing. So you can think of him like a grandfather. He's got a big old beard. He's got a twinkle in one eye and maybe a tear in the other, because sometimes he's had to be stern. Like last week, remember last week? Antichrist, false teachers, don't be deceived. But he loves these people. These are his children, his beloved. And so like a grandfather, he doesn't want you to miss this. He's an old man, and he still hasn't gotten over the fact that he is a child of God. See? Behold. The NIV says how much love is lavished on us, because the Father's love is given, not earned. And we miss this, I think, sometimes, that we are sons and daughters of God. The story is so much bigger. You're part of the family of God. J.I. Packer says it like this: we do not fully feel the wonder of the passage from death to life till we see it as a transition, not simply out of condemnation into acceptance, but out of bondage and destitution into the family of God. We are children of God, and so we are, period. So that's who we are. But now John has another layer, another step for us to take. He says, you are a child of God. Don't forget. So here's the first thing. The first thing is, stay close to Jesus. Don't move. I've been spending some time in my flower beds over the springtime. It all started with me looking at my flower bed, and I realized some of the flowers in the front were getting too tall, had a hosta that needed to be divided. And so I said to Sarah, I think I need to redo some things in the flower bed. And I've learned that I'm kind of a plant it and forget it kind of gardener. This is why I love perennials, especially Indiana hardy perennials. They are awesome, right? You plan it and forget it. So I started moving some things in the front bed, realized something had to go to the side bed, the back bed. I ended up redoing all the flower beds. I finished the mulch yesterday. So I've been planting flowers, cone flowers, other flowers. I'm paying attention to flowers. I'm walking down the sidewalk looking at my neighbor's flower beds. Like, oh, I like that color combination. Uh-huh. Here's what I'm noticing about flowers. My flowers, when I put them in the right place, they are thriving, but they're not striving. Like, they're not trying to move. They're just putting roots right down where I put them. I planted them here. They get enough sun. I planted them here. They get rain. They get water from the hose. They're thriving, but not because they're striving. They just stay put. They don't move. And that's what John is saying to us, except the word that he uses is abide. He says, abide in him. Who is him? It's Jesus. Abide in Jesus. And then he continues. He says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning. We'll get to the keep on sinning part in just a little bit. God's seed. You remember our Christmas series? Pastor Josh took us through the Old Testament and we tracked God's seed from Genesis all the way to the birth of Jesus. Who is the seed? It's Jesus. God's seed abides in the child of God. So here's the amazing thing. Let's start with the word abide. Abide means to remain or stay, to reside. Like my flowers, right? So for us, John says, abide in Christ. Don't move. The old hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And John says, don't move. Don't move away from Jesus. Stay put. Stay close. That's all you have to do. Just don't move. But here's the beautiful thing. Did you catch that second verse? God's seed. Jesus abides in us. God's life has been planted in you. The Spirit of God, His Holy Spirit, is in you. And John says, it will not move. It's been planted. God's seed abides in you. So stay close to Jesus, and He will abide in you. Next layer. Next step for a child of God is to remember that family resemblance shows up in practice. And maybe at this point you're starting to feel some tension. It's okay. John is not saying family practice shows up in perfection. He's saying family resemblance shows up in practice or in life direction, I think is what he's saying. What is your life direction? In other words, John wants us to know that the children of God practice being like their father. I understand this as a musician, right? If I practice my guitar, I get better at it. So we practice being like our father. John says it this way. He says, if you know that he is righteous, that's Jesus, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. So we're the children of God, right? And I love this picture that Pastor Tony Evans has about this passage. Like, imagine this with me. There is a little kid. And it's been raining a lot, if you can imagine. It's been raining a lot, and so he goes out into the backyard, and there's some mud puddles, and what does he do? He has no boots on. He just... And the next one, right? Boom, boom. Next thing you know, he is covered head to toe in mud. Just covered in mud. You've seen this kid, right? And Pastor Tony Evans says a child who plays in the mud, for instance, is accepted by his parents. He is not, however, in an acceptable condition. Right? That's what John wants us to see. You are a child of God, but covered in mud, that's not acceptable. So as a kid, you need to learn how to wash your hands. You better leave those muddy shoes by the back door in the mud room and take those clothes off. Maybe leave them by the washer in the basement so mom can wash them later. You walk through the house with a muddy mess, you're in trouble, right? So there's a practice that we learn, but it doesn't change the fact that we're sons and daughters of God. So how, when, where do we practice? John has some keys for us. He says they practice every day. This word in the Greek, you might not know it. I didn't know it, but it is poieo. Repeat after me, poieo. Yeah, you're speaking Greek. Good job. Yeah, poieo. Poieo is a Greek word. It means practice. It actually means do, to make, to practice, to produce, to do. And you're like, Sam, I don't get the point. Here's the thing about this word poieo that John uses, practice. It is a normal, everyday word. It's not a special super Christian word. It's just an everyday word. You can use it in so many different ways. Sam, what were you doing today? I was poieo. Just doing my thing, walking around in my life, doing normal everyday things. So John is saying, how do you practice? You practice every day in small little ways. As Pastor Josh says, what is your next faithful step? Small habits and behaviors to be like Jesus, like your Heavenly Father. You say, Sam, that's great, but what specifically should I be practicing? John says the children of God, they practice righteousness and love. Children of God, they practice righteousness and love. And I don't think I'm twisting it too much, but I think there's an overlay with what Jesus says about the two greatest commandments. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you ask Jesus, what does that look like? How do I love you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. Do what I say. Be like me. Try to be more righteous like I am. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is it? It's basically anyone you meet, but it certainly includes your brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, if you love one another, that will be the greatest testimony to the world that does not understand you, the way that you love your brothers. So every day, in small little ways, your practice, your poieo, is righteousness and love. And then things get a little weird. Because John, at the end of the passage, talks about the children of the devil. It sounds to me like a horror flick. Coming this fall, children of the devil. Right? It's a little freaky. John's been using some different words for some different groups, but I think there's some overlaps. So he's talked about, in this passage, the world. Last week, we were talking about antichrist, deceivers, false teachers. And then he also talks about children of the devil. I think maybe different groups, but there's some overlap. And again, family resemblance shows up in practice. And so John is going to tell us, what is the practice? What is the family resemblance of the children of the devil? Again, if you're starting to feel some tension, he's going to give us some very specific indicators. He says it this way. He says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, Jesus and the Father. Everyone who makes a practice, poieo, of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. It's kind of like a practice, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. That's like the ultimate practice, right? From the beginning. And who are the children of the devil? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. The children of the devil. First of all, the world, the children of the devil, they don't know the father or his children. Ever felt awkward walking to a room? Like, if you're out there and you're in middle school, have been in middle school, will be in middle school, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Your body doesn't quite fit. Your voice doesn't work right. You're trying to figure out your hair. It's just weird. And John says, you might walk into a room in your life and feel a little awkward. Like, they just don't seem to get me. And John says, yeah. They didn't know the Father. They didn't know Jesus. And so they're not going to know you. Like, you're going to try to act like Jesus, walk like Jesus, be like Jesus, practice righteousness and loving your neighbor as yourself. They don't recognize you. They don't have a category for you. That's part of the family resemblance. Essentially, John's saying, welcome to the family. You're a little weird. Like, just get used to it. They don't know the Father and they don't know you. The children of the devil, in fact, break God's law. Sin is lawlessness. We sometimes miss this, but it's all the way through the scriptures. God has designed the world in a certain way. He's given us laws for our good, and we break them. The difference is poieo. The children of the devil break God's law over and over again on purpose. In other words, John says they poieo sin. They plan sin. They practice sin every day over and over. So Pastor Denny has been talking about 1 John, right? He was preaching last week. By the way, Pastor Gary next week, Pastor Denny the week after that, make sure you come back. And so on the back of your notes, I included the three tests that he's been talking about. And he said, with this passage, it's could be called a moral test. And I agree, it is. I think you could also think of it in terms of a family resemblance test. So last week, Pastor Denny's teaching, and I thought to myself, he is so good, but I'm not going to be like him. I am not going to make a chart. And then I went and I made a chart. I guess you spend enough time with someone and you end up being like them. Oh, which is the message today, right? Yeah, so I thought this would help us understand the family resemblance. The children of God and the children of the devil. The children of God see and know the Father. They abide in Christ as Christ abides in them. They practice righteousness like Jesus, who is our hope from the beginning. More on that later. They love like the Father. And so, when he comes again, they will become like Jesus. They will be confident without shame. In contrast, the children of the devil, he says, don't see or know God, move away from Jesus, practice sin like the devil from the beginning, don't love, and they will become like the devil. They will shrink in shame. So you can see the children of the devil and the children of God. John's trying to help us relieve some tension a little bit. And here's the interesting thing. Like, I don't have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. John, the way he writes, it's kind of frustrating at times because it's like he mashes them all together. The children of God and the children of devil, it's like, Compare that to Matthew 13, Jesus's parable of the wheat and the tares. Right? They're all together. And he says, on the last day, it will become clear. But for now, just wait. Enough of that. Okay, we don't have time. Keep moving. Two categories right there. That's what God calls us to, but there's someone else at work. There's someone else who has a practice, and that's Jesus. Jesus completes what he started. If you think about family resemblances, like in our family, I've been trying to use phrases to help. I do it here at the office sometimes too, and so sometimes I will say, finish the job. We're gonna finish the job. Wards, finish the job. Have we finished the job yet? Nope. Okay, let's finish the job. If there's someone who finishes the job, it's Jesus. Jesus completes what he started. And John tells us exactly how. John says that he appeared, that's the word he used, he appeared as a man to start his good work. You know this is true. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He then had a weird middle school stage around age 12, right? In the temple with his parents, he becomes a man. He teaches. He has 12 disciples. He fixes his eyes toward the cross. And so he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He descended into hell. He rose on the third day. He ascended into heaven. He started his good work. Why? John just doesn't tell us that he started a work. John actually answers the question, why? John says it this way. He says, you know that he, Jesus, appeared the first time in order to take away sins. And in him, there is no sin. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. He is perfect. And he took your sin on himself. He who was, had no sin, became sin for us. Not only that, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil who's been sinning from the beginning. Jesus came to start the process. He hasn't finished it, but to start the process of destroying the works of the devil. That was the first time when he started the good work, but he's coming again to complete it, to finish it. John says he will appear again to complete our transformation. We have a practice, but Jesus will come again and he will finish, perfect what he started. He will complete our transformation. Beloved, we are God's children now. When? Now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. John says, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be like when Jesus comes again in the new creation, in the new heavens and the new earth. But if you want to know a glimpse, look to Jesus. He's the new man, the prototype of what we will be. Are we sinless now? No, but we will be. In him, there is no sin. He is perfectly God and man. We will be like him. We'll even have bodies like him, which means we might be able to walk through walls and fly. Yeah! Super excited about that part. But we don't know all the details. That's what John says. We don't know all the details. But he also says, not only that, when Jesus appears again, we trade our shame for confidence. We used to sing a song here. I'm trading my sorrows, and I'm trading my shame. Yes, perfectly and completely. When he comes again, we will trade our shame. So that when he, Jesus, appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. We will be like he is. And here's where it all comes together. This is what I want you to see. Don't miss it. The future appearance of Jesus gives us hope today. John says it this way. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. What does John not say? He doesn't say become pure and then you have hope. You have hope first. And then you start a practice of trying to purify yourself as he is pure. Your poeo is to try to be like Jesus, but hope comes first. Here's what I want you to know. Hope is not an emotion. Hope is not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is founded in a man, a person, and his name is Jesus. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And so we put our hope in him. So the future appearance of Jesus gives us hope today. What do I mean? I mean it changes the way that we practice because we have hope. You know this is true. Think about it. A bride and groom live differently today because they know a wedding day is coming. An athlete practices differently today because they know a game day is coming. A student studies differently today because they know a test day is coming. And a child of God lives differently, practices differently because they know Jesus is coming again in glory. And so their practice is to be more like him. The future appearance of Jesus gives us hope today. This is what I want you to see. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus will complete what he started in you. And maybe you're still experiencing some tension and you're saying, Sam, I don't know if I'm a child of God. I don't know if I have the family resemblance. Good news, none of us were born children of God. All of us were adopted in. That's the only way we got here. None of us are perfect. We're just making a practice of being more like Jesus. So if you are not a son of God, if you are not a daughter of God and you feel him calling you, he wants to start a good work in you that he will complete. We'd love to pray with you after service. He will finish what he started. And that brings me back to a small church basement in Western Pennsylvania. I showed you this picture already, right? Awkward middle school Sam, second from the right. Here's what I almost missed. I'm standing next to my dad, and he's holding a guitar. Never once when I was middle school did I think to myself, I'm gonna play guitar. I'm gonna stand in front of the church and lead God's people in singing for years upon years. And yet here I am. It wasn't the plan. I didn't have a plan. I just spent a lot of time with my dad. I spent a lot of time with my mom and my brothers and sisters. I tried to spend time with Jesus and with my Heavenly Father. And yes, at some point in time, I had to pick up the guitar and practice the chords and practice strumming. But I just spent a lot of time with my dad, with my father. If you hear nothing else, you are a child of God now, period. And so just ask yourself this simple question. What are you practicing today to become more like Jesus when he appears? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm trusting that through God's word, through his spirit in you, that he's going to reveal that. What is your next faithful step? That small everyday practice of righteousness and love. What is he calling you to practice today? We're gonna take a moment and just say, God, would you reveal it to us now? Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that when we put our faith in him, that you call us sons and daughters of God, not because we've earned it, not because we're perfect, but because you said we are, and you've planted your life in us. Help us to stay close. This week, help us to stay close. But God, I'm praying, would you reveal to us what you are calling us to practice in small little ways? God, sometimes it's hard to have understanding and clarity on our own lives. I know for me that's true. And so I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you give us clarity? And God, for some of us, we're still trying to figure out what it means to be a child of God. Soften our hearts to hear. And help us to say yes and to take our next faithful step. We can't do this without you. So Jesus, we thank you that you abide in us. We love you. So we pray all these things in your good, powerful and holy name. The family of God said, amen. Let it be.